You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
You know, it's amazing that people can chant death to America in an attempt to overthrow the country, at least hint at it, in Dearborn. And yet there's a 71-year-old grandma who could spend 3 years in jail for just walking into an open door at the United States Capitol. I think we've had about enough of this nonsense. Haven't you? I'm going to get into a little bit more on anti-Israel protests around the country, and that's what this is. It's the rise of anti-Semitism, very similar to what happened in Germany in 1939, and I am absolutely serious about it. It is unacceptable. Unacceptable, 100%. I posted a video this morning before the show, and I'm playing a little bit of it here, about the possibility of him tabling of the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas by Chuck Schumer, and the reason they want to do that is because it would show everyone, if the trial were allowed to proceed, everything how much the United States government is not working for the American people. It would show all of the people who are involved in the wholesale overrunning of our border and all of the death, destruction, rape, overdoses, child sex trafficking that has occurred because of government policy. It happened because the government said go. And if they were concerned about it, they'd stop it. Get it? Here's the video I put up on the Twitter today, and it's already, what, reached about 3,000 people just on Twitter.
Apparently, the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas and the trial could be tabled by Chuck Schumer. This despite the fact that over 200,000 young Americans have died from fentanyl poisoning, intentional poisoning by the Chinese government. 90,000 children have disappeared, many of them being sex trafficked, schools being destroyed, neighborhoods being destroyed, cities being destroyed and bankrupt. And somehow our federal government doesn't find this to be impeachable. I would venture to say it's treasonous. It's time to make treason great again.
Ooh, I came up with that one myself.
And Alejandro Mayorkas, the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States, should be subject to that charge. What they've done to our country is inexcusable, and what's more excusable is that we've not been able to do anything about it. That our representatives are not representing us as we are abused and beaten down and overtaken.
Yeah, that's the video. And it's blowing up, man. It is blowing up on the social media. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, she's a denier. She's a denier. She's a white supremacist, most probably enemy of democracy, MAGA fascist, etc. And she says, we don't have to take this.
And I can't make this point loud enough. The American people can stop our government. They can. When they decide that it's important enough for them, when they realize that within 10 years, CBO has projected that we will be approximately $55 trillion in debt.
No. It's going to be a lot sooner than that. We have a $1 trillion deficit every 100 days. The country won't exist by then.
At the current spending levels, if everything stays the same, we're going to be $55 trillion in debt in 10 years. We are going to implode. If the American people finally decide they're tired of illegal aliens murdering them, Tucker, and I can't make this point loud enough, the American people can stop our government.
There you go. And we've got to. We've got to stop this iteration of the federal government. I opened the show with it. The abuses and usurpations of the founders pale by comparison to what we're going through right now. And we don't have to sit here and take it as our country falls apart. We don't have to. We have the desire within us. We are a representative republic. We have the right to say enough is enough. And we can't wait until November for, you know, another 7 months, 8 months of this madness to continue. And it is madness. How many more people are going to die? How many more people are going to die from fentanyl? How many more kids are going to be sex trafficked? How many people are going to die on the way to Mexico? How many more women are going to be beaten to death and raped by illegals? How much more abuse can cities like New York and Chicago take? Their citizens, not their leadership. Their leaderships are idiots. This is ridiculous. We don't have to live this way. We don't have to accept this. It's nonsense. Absolutely. Let's go to Tom in Owings Mills, Maryland. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, you've been quoting Voltaire. By the way, you can impress people at cocktail parties if you let them know that you know that his real non-pen name was Monsieur Attaway. But anyway, so you're quoting his statement that if you believe in absurdities, you'll commit atrocities. Maybe he could have reversed it and said, if you can't comprehend that your fellow human being is capable of committing atrocities, you will absurdly discount the evidence of your own eyes. And a lot of this is, like you say, it's lack of knowledge of history. If you know that that during the run-up to World War II, the Nazis made lampshades out of human skin, and you know things like that, then you'll know that could happen again. And everybody knows the Spanish philosopher Santillana's famous saying, he who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. Few people know his second most famous saying is, he or she who knows not what happened before he or she was born will remain their entire lives intellectually a child.
Yes, but you're exactly right.
Young people today.
Well, and this is the problem with the universities. This is why the indoctrination of students is taking place rather than the knowledge of a real skill or history. You recruit the ignorant and the young, and you make them ignorant by indoctrinating them in schools. And that's what they've done quite successfully. But fortunately, there are those of us who are smart enough and have figured it out who are standing in their way. Tom, I appreciate it. This is in Dearborn, Michigan over the weekend.
They recognize Israel for what it is. Israel is ISIS. They are Nazis. They are fascists. They are racist. The people of the world now know this.
No, they don't. That's a lie. It's a filthy, stinking lie.
And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your child.
Why didn't they make Quds? Why didn't they make yesterday the Quds, the holiday? Why didn't they make it to the Transgender Day of Visibility? I want to know why.
All of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Death to America is what he's saying. Death to America. How about this? Get your ass back out of the country. If you're not here as a citizen of the country, bye-bye.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, we live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed.
Now, have you noticed that the Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-Semites, and Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the left have the same talking points? I've been saying this for a while.
On this earth, it's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth. And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant death to Israel has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
Okay, now that is a threat. That is not a protected speech. That's the kind of stuff, if you were a Trump supporter, you'd end up in a gulag for 1,200 days without a trial. And those are the people that Joe Biden is trying to appeal to. Those are the people that he's trying to appeal to. These are the people that he's afraid of not getting their votes. Those are the ones who say they are uncommitted. Those people right there. That's why Joe Biden is suggesting that Benjamin Netanyahu and are trying to do a green revolution to have him removed from office in the middle of a war. That's the government of the United States. That is our government right there, siding with those who want to take down America and take down Israel. Now, he's trying to play both sides. Oh, no, we support Israel, all that. Really? Why didn't Israel have the $16 billion they needed at the beginning of this conflict? Why are they trying to do a ceasefire? Why are they listening to Hamas casualty numbers, which are bullcrap? Because we have people in our Congress, the squad, who are rabid anti-Semites. And I'm not ignorant of history. I'm not ignorant of history. And so I know what we're facing, and I'm done with the debate. I'm not going to have debate with people who are ignorant. I'm not. There's no point in having a debate. It's already been proven by history. We know socialism left 100 million people in shallow graves last century. We know that socialism killed the Jews, United German Socialist Workers Party. Anybody? I'm not stupid. I am not stupid, and I'm not going to fall for your bullcrap, and I'm not going to have a debate with you about who's right, because history has proven me right. There you go. All right, let's go to Al in Nottingham. Hello, Al. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Rob. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a response. I hope this isn't too late. A response for the congresswoman about the moon and the sun and NASA.
Hold on. Tom, let me refresh people's memories. This is Sheila Jackson Lee. I think it's speaking at a high school. Hold on. I'm going to play this real quick. At a high school graduation or something, where she says that we can't land on the moon because it's a ball of gas.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that?
Yeah, that's a member of Congress. But go ahead with your thoughts there, Al.
Well, instead of going to the moon, the congresswoman could probably sponsor NASA in a mission to the sun. And the solution, since it's so hot, the solution is they just have to go at night.
That's exactly right.
There you go. And following her logic and intellect, that ought to make sense to her.
Al, I'm going to tell you, and you laugh, right? You're making a joke. But if you literally polled Democrats in Congress, some would say that. We had a congressman who literally thought Guam could turn over because of the American troop presence, that an island would flip over. We have that many. We have a woman in Congress who didn't know if you planted. She didn't know that lettuce came out of the ground. All right. We have some profoundly stupid people, Al, and unfortunately they're in policy-making positions, and it proves what a waste of time higher education has become.
Well, hopefully in November we can fix all that.
Oh, brother, I hope it happens before that. I appreciate the call there, Al. Thank you. Thank you for your astute leadership and your knowledge here. Yeah, this is at Rutgers University. There are kids who go to school there. Every one of the kids who are chanting this need to be removed from school. And if they're not in the country as citizens, should be sent back to their home countries. Now this is how Nazism rose in Germany. This is a British television. 3 out of 4 British Muslims don't believe Hamas committed rape and murder during the October 7th attacks. Listen to this.
Really interesting story in the Sunday Telegraph about the British response to this. Only 1 in 4 British Muslims believes Hamas committed murder and rape. What else has that survey discovered?
It's shocking. Okay, so this survey was carried out by the polling organisation JL Partners for the Henry Jackson Society think tank. And they found that about half of British Muslims said that they sympathise with Hamas.
And on September the 12th said that this could never happen again. And yet it has. And yet it has. Let me go real quick to Mark in Towson. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. You got about 40 seconds.
Hey, so how do we fight back? The only way I see that we can fight back is by not paying our taxes or by not filing a tax return. I'm a W-2 employee, so they take my money right off the top. How we can't trust the voting. We can't trust the people we vote to put in office. The only person I trust are about 10 people in Congress and Donald Trump. But how do we fight back?
Well, your first way to do that is to get involved. I know that sounds like a cliche, get involved. Local school boards, maybe helping out with local elections, calling in and getting in touch with your member of Congress, and then basically making yourself very vocal, among other things. That's all I can offer for right now. What I say is that we have to overwhelm them with joy. We have to overwhelm them with mockery and derision at their stupidity. And those are starting points. Mark, I got to run. Thanks for the phone call. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey, guys, it's Carson for Ladder Life. One of my rules for to-dos is the simpler the task or project, the longer it takes to do it. I can tile a bathroom floor sooner than I'll replace a door hinge. I don't know why, but that's just how I roll. With regard to setting up term life insurance, it's easy with Ladder. It's 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork when you apply for $3 million of coverage or less. Just answer a few questions about your health on your application. Ladder customers rate them 4.8 out of 5. 5 stars on Trustpilot, and they just made the Forbes Best Life Insurance 2021 list. Just get on your laptop or phone and apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, and you'll find out if you're instantly approved. No hidden fees. Cancel at any time. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. Hey, life insurance doesn't get cheaper with age, so cross it off your to-do list. Go to ladderlife.com/newsmax today to see if you're instantly approved. ladderlife.com/newsmax. Write it down. That's ladderlife.com/newsmax.
Here's to a record-setting president. Joe Biden setting record low approval ratings.
What the Democrats have put our nation through, it is a sad day.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
Mark just called and said, why don't we just stop paying our taxes? Well, if I could wave a magic wand and everybody who pays taxes would immediately stop paying taxes, then that would be effective. It would be really effective. Unfortunately, the IRS lied about who would target, who they would target with their 80,000 new agents. And do you suppose maybe it was to keep us quiet? Do you suppose that was maybe why this bill was passed? Why this Inflation Reduction Act was passed? Yeah. This is from Rick Moran. The IRS lied about who would be targeted, and it looks like the Congress allocated $80 billion, wanted to augment the IRS collecting ability, was only going to go after the rich. Yeah. As of last summer, 63% of new audits targeted taxpayers with incomes of less than $200,000. Yeah. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Only a small overall share reached the highest earners, while 80% of audits covered filers making less than $1 million. It's a subtle reminder of who's in charge is what it is, by the way. You know, don't be talking about maybe not paying us taxes, no matter what we do to you. Really, I mean, that's what it says. That's what it says. Hey, let's talk about the Biden economy, which is terrible. In case you haven't heard it, this is our new Biden economy jingle.
We're eating pickles from the dollar store. Buckets from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday.
Yeehaw!
We're eating pickles from the dollar store. Buckets from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday.
That's right. Yep, I still shop like a poor person. I'm not saying I'm wealthy by any means, but I shop like a poor person. That's not going anywhere. Check this out. Students at a Missouri high school start their school day with hunting, then processing and butchering cooked animal carcasses. Yeah, Maysville, Missouri, farm-to-table class is teaching people, because of the price of groceries, to go out and hunt and gut and clean your own game. Or as they say where I grew up, how you live, essentially, is how you do it. Yeah. Students learn to hunt, dissect, and identify animal organs, process the harvested meat, and prepare it for cooking as part of the programs offered by the Missouri Future Farmers of America, the FFA. I didn't belong to the FFA. I lived the FFA. Yeah, I did. I did. So after 2 years or 3 years of rampant inflation, the cost of food at home has risen 2.6% in the last 12 months. Oh, please. Dear God in heaven. It's closer to 35. If students know how to hunt and process a deer, which yields 55 to 70 pounds of processed meat, or to prepare a chicken, which averages 70% of the meat and skin of its original weight, they have much more affordable option for eating. This is kind of like what they did in Venezuela. In Venezuela, when Hugo Chavez was in charge, and it's still that bad, the number one restaurant in Caracas for a while was the Zoo. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? But here is Pete Buttigieg. He's the transportation secretary, who's obviously afraid of transportation, making him transphobic in a sloppy makeout session, virtual makeout session with Jen Psaki about how great the economy is.
I think it's important to recognize where people are at, too. The country's been through a lot. Families mm-hmm. have been through a lot. And just because a number on a page looks good doesn't mean people can feel it. Anybody who's been in a relationship knows that if somebody's not feeling great, the first thing you say to them is not, you should be feeling
better
than you are, right?
Stop.
Oh, just listen to him. Just listen to him talk.
Yeah. I'm not feeling it. So, yeah. Look, we've been through a lot as a country. Yeah. Having said that...
You put us through a lot. Yeah, you guys in power put us through a lot.
We're also achieving a lot as a country. Mm-hmm. And while there is a very well-funded noise machine trying to poke holes in those achievements, trying to talk
down... Oh, no, everything is terrible. Everything that Joe Biden touches turns to crap, and we know it.
...on the economy and all the things America has done. I think it reflects well on the president that the American people, under his leadership, and the American economy, under his leadership, have added so many jobs, including, importantly, in areas like manufacturing.
No manufacturing jobs last month at all. Not one single one. Lost 6,000 full-time jobs, 691,000 part-time jobs, which means Americans are working two or three of them to pay for the same bills from when Joe Biden became the president. Chrissy Clark, Newsmax contributor and Gen Z political expert, joins us next.
Karen DuPeach, our wonderful, wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas. Although I love
for the first time.
Yeah, this is The View yesterday when supposed college graduates debated whether or not earthquakes and cicadas and the solar eclipse were caused by climate change. Yeah, these are the people who corporate media employs. Chrissy Clark is a fantastic political pundit. She has the host of Unreported Stories and a Newsmax contributor, and she joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Hi, Chrissy. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm good. Do you ever... The other day I heard Joe Rogan going off on The View and saying that nobody really watches The View. A lot of people watch it because they react to some of the things they say. Do you have to watch The View purposely for what you do for a living, or you just kind of stumble on it and then talk about it? Or do you actually watch it?
Oh, my gosh. I would rather put my head down the toilet than watch that program. No. Absolutely not. No. I just have to watch the clips, and even watching the clips is nauseating enough for me. I can't watch that whole show.
It is remarkable. Yesterday they were equating climate change to earthquakes and cicadas, which shows how out of touch they are. I think yesterday was a prime example of the university system in this country. If you look at like, for instance, Sonny Hostin yesterday and others, and then Joe Biden waving off another, $1 billion in student debt, it makes you kind of recognize what they're doing, indoctrinating people to be stupid and then paying for their education so a higher education won't be held accountable for it. What do you think about that?
That's a really good take. I feel like these people, sometimes when you get so educated, you become even more stupid because you can't actually think for yourself. You just start thinking how you're taught to think. And I feel like that is very indicative of people like Sonny Hostin, who she allegedly has a law degree. You know, she's supposed to be somebody with that we consider so smart in terms of the realm of higher education. And yet she says some of the dumbest things I've ever heard, along the lines of, you know, calling people true charlatans to their face, and then continuing on to say things like cicadas and the solar eclipse are because of climate change.
You know, also, Chrissy, and I've been monitoring for a very long time the death of common sense in this country. Yeah. and the death of shame. I'll mention also shame. And Sunny Hostin should feel ashamed for how stupid she sounded yesterday, but she won't be held to account. It is remarkable. The same goes for, you know, transgendered athletes, men who fail so badly and colossally at their sports that they identify as women and feel no shame when they take the medal stand, and accept a win, even though the win was wholly unfair. I think that could all be related to not only the death of civility, but also the death of shame.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I talk about shameless culture all the time, and it's really funny because it's been normalized by my generation, Gen Z. We really think that we can just talk about anything on the internet, open up our lives to the internet, not have shame for the decisions, bad decisions we made, and really not have any privacy. And it truly is like liberal elite women that then go and perpetuate this at a higher level and normalize it for the younger women of my generation. They really think it's totally okay to put out all their ridiculous ideas, espouse these ideas, and think that it's normal to just expose yourself, explain every little detail, and have no shame about the stupid decisions that you made. Of course, there's a line of relatability, and I love that. I truly do. I think it's a good thing that we are more relatable in our content. But relatability should be equated with moderate, like some sort of modesty and being down the middle, being like, I don't fully understand this, or I want to understand this more. And what happens instead is these people are like, well, I think it's this way and it's that way. And it just, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, it's not modesty. It's not centrism. It's just stupidity.
Yeah, 100%. I want to ask you this because you are a woman. I assume you have been a woman since birth. And yes. and the left says that I have no right to say anything about abortion because I was born with male organs. Forget the fact that I was put up for adoption because my mother was sexually assaulted. And I am a pro-life person. Donald Trump yesterday came out online and said that the issue of abortion had been returned to the states after Roe v. Wade was overturned. I want to know what your thoughts are, assuming you are pro-life, with regard to what Donald Trump said yesterday, which is probably going to cause the left to freak out because they are painting Donald Trump as an absolutist who wants to make abortion illegal nationwide. Your thoughts on both?
It's a hard line to toe because two things can be true at once. I can be a pro-life activist. I can believe that it's morally wrong to kill your baby in the womb. But at the same time, I can understand that, unfortunately, that view is not palatable to a majority of Americans. And if you're looking to save more babies' lives, if you're looking to be a pro-life activist, of the two choices that you have, Donald Trump's version of version of abortion rights is going to be state by state, where if you come to my great state of Tennessee, you will probably have very limited abortion rights. And if you go to California, you'll have, you know, probably unfettered abortion rights. And while that's not ideal for the pro-life movement, I think pro-lifers get very caught up in the activism that they're doing. And again, it's wonderful activism, and I'm not here to shame anybody. But it is not a palatable position to the majority of Americans. What Donald Trump is doing is actually bringing people into the fold where being pro-life is not their number one issue, and they're making it more palatable, especially for younger women. Unfortunately, my generation of women believes that Roe versus Wade being overturned meant that abortion was illegal across the country. They're just very uninformed. And while the pro-life activists, again, I believe in it, but it's just too unpalatable for this generation of people that if they're looking to pull the trigger for Donald Trump and the only thing that's stopping them is abortion rights, I think it makes it a little bit easier to pull the trigger and vote for him. And again, I think it's politically smart, morally correct.
Well, I think that
politics, I don't know what it is.
Well, for me, you know, and obviously I'm pro-life. I would never expect a woman to carry a child to term who had been raped. My mother did so. I thank her. She passed before I could even meet her, and I regret that. But I can't imagine going through that as a woman. I do think, obviously, abortion has to be very rare and very early. If you are sexually assaulted, you are given an abortifacient in the emergency room, obviously. I don't think there's anything unreasonable about that. But don't you think, Chrissy, that the left has managed to make the most empowering thing a woman can do in her life, so much so that it literally negates every other issue on the ballot? They've made the most important, empowering thing a woman can do, killing the baby in her womb and not having the baby and raising the child. And that's the problem that I have. They've done such a successful job since Roe v. Wade of brainwashing generations of women to believe that killing the baby is the most important thing you can do in your life.
Yeah, well, I think it's a faux empowerment that doesn't just start with or doesn't stop with abortion, right? It's just the beginning. I mean, these are the same people that tell you that a corporate 9-to-5 is going to make your life fulfilled. And then you have a bunch of 27-year-olds getting on TikTok shamelessly crying about how they feel just empty from working a corporate 9-to-5, not being able to date, not being able to have a life. Their hormones are out of whack because they've been put on birth control for their acne, and they wonder why their life is falling into shambles. It's been a lie that's been propagated on an entire generation of women, telling them that if they just, you know, focus on their corporate life and climbing the corporate ladder, they're going to find success and happiness. And ultimately, people find out that it's a lie, and I feel like a lot of people are waking up to it. But it does take time, and it does take time to realize that the lie was perpetuated on you, and that the lie is multifaceted, not just in, you know, your personal life or your medical life, but in the way that the media has propagated up abortion rights and what that actually means.
I think it's kind of funny, you know, there is this this movement among Gen Z women. It's a small movement of women assuming the traditional role of home caregiver, the person who raises children, makes the meals, a husband goes off to work, and the left hates it. But they don't have a problem with Muslim women subjugating themselves to men in their culture, and they don't have a problem with men becoming women and destroying the lives and careers of women. It's an amazing and disgusting juxtaposition.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. I mean, I feel like that's just part and parcel of being a Christian, right? In America, is they'll take issue with you for your religion solely because it's Christianity, because leftists feel like, oh, well, I went to church one time. I don't understand the gospel. No, I don't understand the prosperity of Jesus. But, you know, I went once, so I can mock it. I can talk about it. And they wouldn't dare to do the same thing about any other religion, even if the other religions are incredibly, like, far more against what they actually believe in. But it's just like this proximity association that they have with Christianity, that they can say those things, and that's why they're against the tradwives, because they feel like they can. It's almost like the way that women feel like, I can talk about abortion and men can't. They feel that way about Christianity. Well, I went to a church one time, so I can talk about it, even though they don't understand. It's just a proximity argument.
Hey, I want to ask you, Chrissy Clark, by the way, what do you think of the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas? It sounds like Chuck Schumer, despite the protestations of the American people, despite it being the number one issue on people's minds, the open southern border, the possibility, and I would venture to say probability, because we can't believe anything that Congress does, and they will always disappoint. But the possibility and probability of the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas being tabled without a trial.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge disappointment. I feel like Congress, this term of Congress has been exceptionally disappointing, but I'm not shocked. From the get-go, I kind of had a feeling that nothing was going to come of this, and that's because Republicans need to win elections in order to be more efficient and get stuff like this done. If we really, Republicans, I guess not me, but if Republicans really want to get something done, they need to worry about winning elections. While I think that this is a disappointment, I hope that it's a motivator to people out there.
I hope so, too. I want to ask you this. The appointment of Lara Trump to the RNC and the resulting fundraising efforts. There was a fundraiser, not at Mar-a-Lago, but over the weekend in Palm Beach. And then also the versus the Biden fundraiser at Radio City. They ended up making $50 million. In Florida. Do you suppose it's because maybe people are beginning to trust the leadership at the head of the Republican National Committee to be able to send the money? Do you suppose that's part of it?
Yeah, I think there's I think that there's a lot of people who are disaffected. It's very difficult. I think what the RNC has done with appointing Lara and a co-chair is good, because the truth is we can't have a fractured Republican Party if we want to win. We have to be able to message to your traditional neocon conservatives, while people might dislike them, you still have the message for them. Like, they still want to be heard and felt. They're still Americans, right? And then you also have to get your MAGA base, and Lara Trump institutionalizing herself there with somebody who can speak a little bit more to the tradcons. I think that's super, super important to be able to get both aspects, and that was not present with Lara Trump. With Ronna McDaniel. So I think it's great that Lara's there. I mean, full disclosure, she's a friend. So I am, of course, very proud of her. But I am excited to see what she's going to do. And it looks like it's already working 10 times better than anything that Ronna was ever doing.
Chrissy, one other thing I want to ask you about, as a Gen Zer, I'm a Gen Xer, the battle that Israel's going through with Hamas and the left in this country appearing to side with Hamas. You've got Dearborn literally chanting death to America, death in Israel. They're not being quiet about it at all. They're very, very open about it. You've got literally our federal government trying to straddle the fence, acting like we support Israel while trying to depose Benjamin Netanyahu. Do you, as a Gen Zer, are you hopeful for Israel's survival, or do you see a lot of Gen Zers not recognizing the history of Israel and what's at stake here?
I mean, it goes back to the whole Roe versus Wade thing. People are so stupid and misinformed. My entire generation is sitting around saying, there's a problem with Israel shooting people in Gaza. Well, you know what? If Mexicans came over into America and took hundreds of people hostage and raped and murdered people, of course there would be problems. Of course we would fight back. They're so misinformed about it. It's actually frustrating. But I'll break a little bit of news on your show. I'm actually, literally once I get off the phone, I'm going to have to call the police. I have somebody in my building that keeps shoving papers for the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan specifically into my apartment door. And it's just crazy the lengths that if you even speak out in a pro-Israel manner, people will find you. They'll hunt you down. I believe there are 50 people that were just arrested, according to breaking news, that in a Capitol building protesting Israel. It's like these people are madly insane, and they'll go to the depths of the earth to push their propaganda on people. And for some reason, again, I think it's part of this association proximity association argument, no one wants to call them out, and then the people that do get their lives threatened. It's very
crazy. I appreciate you being on the show today. And if you need anything from this end, this nationally syndicated show, we're here for you. Chrissy, I know that you're on Twitter at Chrissy Clark. Where else could people find you and your podcast, by the way?
Yeah, of course. You can download the Underreported Stories podcast on Apple and Spotify, or you can find me exclusively on Rumble. If you just type in Chrissy Clark or Underreported Stories, you'll find me there.
All right. God bless you. Have a glorious day. And thanks for being on the show. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. I gotta hear this again.
I know, right? I mean, I have to say, Karen Dupiche, our wonderful,
oh my
one of our wonderful makeup artists, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, "Jesus is coming."
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here.
And then also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
The cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like
no,
100 years.
Okay, this is the perfect example of the supposedly educated elite versus us. By the way, thinks that climate change.
So I learned that cicadas are coming. All those things together. What maybe lead one to believe that climate change exists?
Sunny
Jim Gossett.
Houston, this woman is quite deranged.
sunny. Blaming everything on climate change.
Because she's stupid.
Like the solar eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
And cicadas, too. Sunny, what the hell is wrong with you? It's open and shut. You're a nut. Sunny.
Sunny.
Saying warming causes an earthquake. Sunny. How you have become a big time flake. She said climate change would spell our doom. Lock her up in a rubber room.
Come on!
Sonny, you've been wrong for so long.
All of them, for crying out loud. Huh? By the way, so Whoopi yesterday said that abortion is between a woman and her doctor, and you should be able to abort a baby until birth. Yeah, that's the view. That's the view for you. Yeah. We'll have a little bit more on that next hour. Did you watch the Iowa getting beaten over the weekend to South Carolina? Well, 18.7 million people tuned in, by the way. In case you were wondering, Caitlin Clark's team did not win. She's going to go on to the NBA, but the WNBA, I should say. But this is the most watched ESPN basketball game, college, pro, or men's since 2019. I think this is massive for women's sports. The game peaked at 24 million viewers as South Carolina completed and an undefeated season, 87-75 over Iowa. Pretty cool for women's sports. And by the way, coming up, Riley Gaines talks about Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina, and transgenderism. This is the Rob Carson Show. All right, so coming up next hour, the 15th is when this idiotic trial involving Stormy Daniels begins in New York. Donald Trump is suing the presiding judge to delay it, among other things. Plus, we have the jury questionnaire for those who want to be on the jury for a trial that starts in less than a week. That's coming up. Don't go anywhere. Hey, guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And this is the third hour of The Rob Carson Show. If you want to hear the podcast of the show, we do all 3 hours of the show. We make it into two segments every day. So if you want to hear opening monologues, you want to hear guests, whatever, just go to your usual podcast platforms and look up Rob Carson Show and subscribe if you would, or you could just tell Alexa to play it. There you go. It's that easy. Also, if you want to have your voice heard with regard to the possible running mate for Donald Trump, Newsmax is doing a poll. All right. Who do you want? You want Ben Carson? You want Ron DeSantis? You want Kristi Noem? You want, I don't know. You know, just go to your cell phone. And text the word event to 39747, okay? Event to 39747. Remember, Donald Trump needs your to know your opinion, so let your voice be heard. Event to 39747. There you go. How about you do that? I had mentioned that the NCAA women's March Madness drew more viewers, well, historic numbers of viewers, and I think it's great news for female athletes considering the affront that they've been through with regard to transgender nonsense, and it has been, and we will wake up from this this nightmare and hopefully hold those accountable for who committed these the people who committed these absurdities. These absurdities on women, it is beyond absurd. It is madness. It's utter madness. It always has been. But the country has been turned into a land of nonsense and not common sense. And the thing that's going to save us is this great awakening that is happening with regard to everything. All of the lies that the federal government has told us about COVID, about the southern border, about America sucking, about, you know, all of that, all of this nonsense will be turned on its end. And I'm glad that women's sports, particularly NCAA women's basketball, is on fuego. On fuego. The game peaked, but the game with Iowa versus South Carolina, 24 million viewers. South Carolina undefeated all season. The coach of South Carolina took some heat because she said that she'd be fine with anybody who identifies as female playing with women on their team. So dudes can play with women. And I mentioned it yesterday. I got a lot of heat, actually, from at least one viewer or listener who said that, you called her an idiot. Well, you're an idiot. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Maybe it doesn't make her an idiot, but it does make her a fool. How about that? If you think that a man could compete with a woman in basketball, let's do this. Let's take the championship women's NBA team at the end of the season and put them up against the men's championship team. There you go. Because all any of those guys has to do is take some estrogen shots, and they can compete with you. So I think I just made my point. I think I made it quite well, actually. Better than I could have even imagined. It's time for, dear God, particularly women who coach other women to recognize the absurdity and the abusive, awful phenomenon that has occurred in our country where men can identify as women and destroy them. Absolutely destroy them. By the way, the NAIA, they will no longer be welcome. Transgender women will no longer be welcome to compete as females. Yay! The governing body voted Monday. The NAIA, National Convention Council of Presidents, announced a decision Monday stating that beginning August the 1st, only students whose biological sex is female can compete in women's sports. The vote was unanimous, 20 to nothing. Now we just need the rest of these people to catch up with it. We know notably Penn's transgender swimmer Leah Thomas sparked controversy by competing in the 2022 NCAA championships, while CeCe Teffer of Franklin Pierce caused a stir in 2019 by winning the women's Division II 400-meter hurdles after previously competing as a man. All right. Riley Gaines and other swimmers have filed a lawsuit, and they had to share a locker room with Leah Thomas. Even though Leah Thomas was still dating women. The lawsuit mentions Florida swimmer Tyler Matthew, who was not a plaintiff, was denied first-team All-American honors in that swimming event. So a woman was denied All-American honors because a man was competing unfairly with women. And this is Riley Gaines on Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina, not speaking out against men becoming women to compete with women.
Of course, I don't think she believes this. And look, I love and respect Dawn Staley. Two championships in 3 years. In 3 years at South Carolina, she's won two championships. I think her record is 109-3.
Oh, yeah.
That's unprecedented. So clearly she's great at what she does, and she's developed many incredible athletes whom I admire. But she's either proven herself, to your point, to be entirely incompetent or a sellout. And personally, I don't think she believes what she said. If you watch the video, her silence, the hesitation, and that drink of water, I think it spoke volumes. I think she knew she had to be politically correct. And I know about as good as anyone that pressure exists.
Yeah.
And it's real. But the bottom line is, she knows perfectly well that men's basketball, it's a totally different sport than women's basketball. That's obvious by the speed of the game, the size of the ball, the sheer amount of of layups in women's basketball compared to dunks when a player gets a fast break in men's basketball, the distance of the three-point line, the list goes on. So what I think this boils down to is she didn't have the courage to stand with women. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for her, and she blew it. And truthfully, my guess is she's okay with it until her team is defeated by one or more men playing on the opposite team.
I got an idea. How about this? Let's go ahead and take the University of Connecticut men's basketball team and put them up against the WNBA champions this season. Let's see what happens there. College students versus professional athletes. Let's see how that does. Let's go to National Boys High School Basketball Champions. And there are some great teams around the country where these kids literally being recruited from like their freshman year in high school to go play basketball. Let's just take the top high school basketball athletes and have a game against the WNBA champions this year and see how it turns out. Who do you suppose is going to win? There you go. All right. I'm done talking about that. How's that sound? Okay, that sounds great. Donald Trump is trying to sue the presiding judge over the Hush Money case in a last-ditch effort to avert a New York trial. The DOJ knows that they have friendly jurors in Washington, D.C. They have friendly jurors in New York City. 70% of the jury pool in New York City already has declared Donald Trump guilty. That's just the way it is. That's how sick our legal system is, and I got to tell you, Trump supporters and people in general are done with it. Donald Trump's attorneys are suing Judge Marchand. His wife literally worked in Letitia James' office for 3 years. His daughter is a major Democrat fundraiser who has made $94 million for clients such as Adam Schiff and Kamala Harris because of this trial. The fact that this is being allowed to continue is an affront to justice. It is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It's as unacceptable as that ridiculous ruling by Judge Engoron and the subsequent ruling that brought the bond down to $175 million. We can never get used to this. We can never decide that it's okay for this guy, but not everybody else. And this case with Stormy Daniels was cobbled together by another career Democrat leftist and the AG of New York, who literally ran on just going after Donald Trump, even though there were no charges ever alleged against him, even though his books are spotless, even though every year the IRS, when he is in New York, gave him a rectal exam and a complete audit every single year. Donald Trump's businesses went under an audit by the IRS, by New York and national agents. Every single year. That alone is harassment. An appeals judge is likely to issue a ruling on the matter later today, I guess, and a five-judge panel will consider the request within the next several days, by the way. This is Boris Epstein talking about the political trials of Donald Trump. If I can get it to play.
It's clear as day to everybody this is law enforcement. And so today, President Trump filing two powerhouse motions. His lawyers, the legal team, are fighting it out as we speak and are going to continue to press the point that these are A, Biden trials, Biden witch hunts, and B, there's no way that this case should go to trial anytime soon. It really should be dismissed as a whole, because just like all the other witch hunts, the Manhattan DA case is lawless attacks.
Yeah, they are. They're political. It's very obvious to anybody paying attention. 91 charges, nonsensical charges. Joe Biden had thousands of confidential and classified and top secret documents in 8 locations he took when he was vice president, probably when he was senator, among other things, literally from the skiff. And a massive investigation said that he was too incompetent to stand trial. Donald Trump has them under lock and key at Fort Knox, which is Mar-a-Lago. And Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland and Joe Biden literally made up charges out of whole cloth to raid Mar-a-Lago, the first time a presidential residence has been raided in American history. Another one of the plaintiffs in the a co-defendant, I should say, in the trial of Donald Trump in the Fannie Willis cabal is actually threatening a civil rights lawsuit against Fannie Willis. Harrison Floyd, he says that he's going to be filing an equal protection claim against Willis, adding that the district attorney's upbringing is deeply rooted in radical progressive ideology and racism. And that's very true, by the way. That's very true. Maybe that's something we need to consider, right? While my skin is also black, D.A. Wallace identifies me as white and views me as a defender of white supremacists due to my political beliefs. She's made it very obvious. Deep down, she wants to make me pay for what she feels is betrayal of black culture. Her words and actions consistently demonstrate a hate for white people and a need to make this case about race. Also, he is claiming that Fannie Willis wiretapped him, by the way. And here he is talking about that. And it appears to be, by the way, it actually happened.
Last week, my attorney and I made it public that District Attorney Willis very likely violated the Maryland Wiretapping Act, which is a felony here in Maryland. As far as we are aware, DA Willis did not have a warrant, and the call was not made in furtherance of law enforcement because I was already in custody. She simply broke the law. The truth is, DA Willis did not like the public backlash she was receiving, and over the course of multiple calls, she tried to find a way out of the mess that she created. She also made the claim that I denied a consent bond, which is a lie.
Yeah. And also, she perjured herself on the witness stand. She said that she did not go to the White House, and she did. She went to the White House. Other figures involved in the DOJ political indictments of Donald Trump all went to the White House. It's being commanded and controlled out of the White House. I have the some of the questions I want to share with you about the if you want to be a jury member in the Stormy Daniels hush money trial, and some of them are laughable. I will have them on the other side of the break. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
By the way, the Senate cafeteria has been shut down because a bunch of pro-Hamas, anti-Israel protesters were there.
Breaking news from inside the Capitol building. Anti-Israel protesters just shut down the largest cafeteria on the Senate side. And they were chanting, according to our producers there, and they were saying that the Capitol Police are chanting everybody out or be placed under arrest. And the protesters were shouting back, this is the house of the people. The Senate can't eat until Gaza eats.
There you go. The Senate can't eat until Gaza eats. This is proof that the death of the aid workers the other day is being used in the same way to ignite people as George Floyd's death. And then also the faux hospital bombing not soon thereafter, October the 7th. Just want you to be ready for it. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to set the country on fire. It's not going to work out. I said in 2020 that the left is ripe for a beatdown, and I stand by that. Bring that to my hood. Bring that to my hood. I dare ya. I dare ya. So there are 42 questions Trump jurors will have to answer before the Stormy Daniels hush money trial that begins on Tuesday, the 15th of April. It is a joke, by the way. 70% of people in New York polled have already convicted Donald Trump. That's why they're doing it there. They're doing the same thing. They're trying to get the trial, the trial with judicial watch with regard to the Ashley Babbitt's murder, the $30 million lawsuit. They're trying to bring the trial to Washington, D.C. so the government can get out of the judgment. That's what they're trying to do. Rather than having it in California where she calls home, the federal government is trying to get that trial, suing the federal government for the murder of Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed person in the Capitol, and the acquittal without even hearing the evidence of the police officer, Robert Byrd, involved. Robert Byrd. Byrd is the name of the guy, not the Robert Byrd. But yeah, that's what they're doing. Here are some of the questions. What do you do for a living? Got it. Who's your current employer? Got it. No problem. What do you do in your spare time? Do you have any hobbies or interests? Okay, who cares? Do you participate in any organizations or advocacy groups? All right, here we go. All right. Have you ever served on a jury before? Which of the following print publications, cable or network programs, or online media such as websites, blogs, or social media platforms do you visit, read, or watch? Now, who do you suppose would be most likely to get on the jury? Somebody who reads the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, the USA Today, watches MSNBC. Yeah, the Washington Post, the Huffington Post. Don't you suppose? Because they're on the questionnaire. And here are the people that these would get you qualified. I can guarantee you this right now. I can guarantee you this right now. If you said I watch Newsmax, they would take you off the jury pool. They wouldn't care if you read the New York Times. They wouldn't care if you read the Washington Post. Honestly. Of course, of course, of course. Let's see what else. Fox News. Newsmax is on the list. Yeah. Facebook, Truth Social. I don't follow the news. TikTok. Do you listen to talk radio? If so, which programs? Well, let me see. Who are the biggest names in talk radio right now? Are they conservative or are they left of center? Can you name any who are left of center? No, of course you can't, because they are none, because nobody carries their shows because they're so terrible. Yeah. Liberal talk radio died with what was it, the American Network that Bill Hess used to be in charge of before he was hired at Cumulus. I know, he was still hireable after that. It's funny. Yeah, let me see here. Have you a relative or close friend with any experience or interaction with the criminal justice system? Well, that's going to eliminate a lot of Democrats because a lot of them are in jail. Do you have any moral, political, intellectual, religious beliefs or opinions which might prevent you from following the court's instructions and finding Donald Trump guilty? No, I didn't actually say that, but that's what they are saying. Without telling us the name, do you take any medication that would prevent you from being able to concentrate or pay attention during the proceedings? Joe Biden would be completely not be able to be on the jury pool just for that, his brain doesn't work. Can you give us assurance that you'll be fair and impartial and not base your decisions in this case upon bias or prejudice in favor of or against a person who may appear in this trial, including the big orange man who's very, very bad and needs to be imprisoned? Yeah. Uh-huh. That'll clear it up. Do you, a relative or close friend, ever work for any company or organization that is owned or run by Donald Trump and his family? These are some of the questions on the questionnaire, and it's easy to figure out who they will want on the jury pool and who they will accept on the jury pool. And it certainly isn't Newsmax supporters or viewers who love Donald Trump. Yeah, absolutely. Not at all, because this is New York. We'll see what happens before the 15th. Last hour or half hour of the radio show on the way, and I promise it'll be awesome. Stick around. Tuesday edition of the Rob Carson Show. You know, despite everything that's going on in the country, in the world, it is a really amazing time for content producers. And I was doing a little podcast with a friend of mine named David Naster. He's a comedian. He does a podcast I've been on a number of times. And we talked yesterday about, you know, months ago, nearly a year ago, I pivoted a little toward the humor. And it decided to use humor, move it to the fore of the show, because it's one of the things that I do well. And it's something I've done a very long time, starting with Rush Limbaugh right out of college. And I think that it is a powerful weapon. And one of the things that I've learned is that, and I believe in my heart, is that some of the greatest disruptors in history have been comedians. The greatest disruptors in history. And because of a lot of things that have happened, for instance, all of the technology, content producers are able to do anything. I literally sit in where I used to. 10 years ago, I would have had to go to a radio studio to do what I do. But I built and engineered a radio studio myself in my home. I did all of this. That beautiful sounding voice, I did that. Thank you. I have a TV studio in my home. I built it before anybody could do it. Before Facebook allowed you to broadcast on the desktop. It used to be just Facebook on your phone. I figured it out 3 months before they made the announcement and started doing a broadcast with a green screen behind me. All right? And now I've got a full-blown TV and radio studio. I can broadcast anywhere in the world and do my show on Newsmax here in my room. It's crazy. Another thing that has happened is that streaming of content has caused an explosion in wonderful stuff. And I'm not talking about podcasts. You know, there's a lot of good podcasts. There's a lot of crap out there. Sooner or later, they'll weed themselves out. The bad podcasts will maintain a very small marginal fan base, and the cream will rise to the top. Right now, we're rising to the top. We do very well. We can always do better. But another way that content has gotten better is just the unbelievable television that's available right now. We sit every night and we flip through the streaming services that we have. And it's like walking into Blockbuster, except for we don't have to do it anymore. We can walk into Blockbuster. Remember on, you probably may or not, you Gen Zers won't. On Tuesdays, Blockbuster would unveil the new DVDs that were out. So it's like WALL-E is on DVD, and everybody would go to Blockbuster, and the 10 copies or 20 copies that they had of WALL-E would be checked out on Tuesday. So you'd have to go back and you'd have to walk through all of the, let's go over to drama, let's go over to this, let's go to that. Let's try and stay away from the beaded curtain in the back of the video place, but we won't get into that. But that's what we have to do, and now we do it every night. We literally, my son sitting here, we will scroll through TV shows for 15 minutes and movies and whatever, 15 minutes before we settle on one. That said, there's some great stuff. There's some really good stuff. And I wouldn't watch it if it were not for my son. And one of the things that I've been watching is The Bear. It is a show on Hulu, among other places. And it is brilliant. It's brilliant. It's about a chef who comes back to run his brother's restaurant after his brother commits suicide. And it is, the dialogue is amazing. Each one of the characters in the first season, they developed each character's storyline beautifully. And then, as an ensemble cast, brought them all together to do this restaurant, open a new restaurant. And I just watched season 2, episode 6, which featured Bob Odenkirk and Jamie Lee Curtis in what I can only say is one of the most difficult to watch episodes of television I've seen in a very long time. And the reason being is I come from a very dysfunctional family. And this involved Jamie Lee Curtis as the matriarch of the family, a hopeless alcoholic, preparing the Feast of Seven Fishes at Christmas. And the resulting chaos, fighting madness of a dysfunctional family gathering. And for those who've been through it, right here, me, hey, right here. It was difficult to watch, but it was also brilliant. It was also brilliant. Another show that I've been watching is Shogun. Shogun is a story of English sailors finding themselves captured in feudal Japan and held prisoner. One of the English, not soldiers, but sailors, being essentially accepted by the Japanese culture. And I'm still developing. I'm in this season 2. Oh, my God. It's just brilliant. It's just brilliant. You know, when I was growing up, I'm a part of Gen X. I'm the last analog generation. And we had to watch what was on the broadcast channels. Then cable came around, and you had HBO and Cinemax. I never watched Cinemax on Friday nights after dark. Oh, yeah, I did. Anyway, that said, your choices were unbelievably limited. And we had great television. We had All in the Family. We had The Jeffersons. We had Good Times. Those are funny. We had Roots, which was mind-bendingly good for, you know, kids in the 1970s and families. I mean, a white family in Iowa. We're watching a story that shows the story of slavery in America, made it real for a lot of people. It's fantastic. We all watched it. But now there's just, I mean, there's so much. There's just so much. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. I know a lot of times you're conservative radio. I only watch the news. I only read the whatever, whatever. No. My life is too short to not enjoy the arts, all right? Because I like to consider myself to be a performer and an opinion maker, obviously. But I know how hard it is, what a tough road to hoe it is to be a performer. To be an actor, to be a stand-up comedian, to be a voiceover artist. It's really hard. And most of the time, when you sign up for those, you're not going to make a lot of money. You're not going to get rich. All right? All the big names, Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling, everybody in Hollywood who are best actor nominees, they're the exception to the rule. They're the NBA. The rest of us kind of fight for the crumbs. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. So I wanted to share that because Shogun is just, it's just so good. It's so good. And The Bear is, I mean, wow. I literally, I have the attention span of a fruit fly, in case you didn't notice. I can sit and watch. The other day I watched 5 episodes of The Bear, one after another. I watched 3 episodes of Shogun. That's a big deal. Because that's a long show. But it's really good. It is really, 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 really good. A couple of years ago, the federal government decided you couldn't have an opinion on anything. Do you remember that? I don't forget it. It really made me mad. I'm still angry about it. I want retribution for the federal government shutting down our ability to protest, shutting down our ability to send our kids to school, shutting down our churches, telling us that you had to stand 6 feet away from somebody and most businesses had to be closed and all concerts and movies had to end. All concerts and movies stopped. You couldn't go to them. Your federal government said you could not. There were places you couldn't have a backyard gathering without somebody reporting you to law enforcement. I will never go through that again. I will not. I would rather fight to my death than go through the crap that our federal government did to us during the last 3 years. The shocking COVID cover-up, shocking truth about Wuhan and 15 federal agencies. This on Fox this morning, by the way. How vast was the great COVID cover-up? Well, and this is Rand Paul. My investigation recently discovered government officials from 15 federal agencies knew in 2018 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was trying to create a coronavirus like COVID-19. These officials knew the Chinese lab was proposing to create COVID-19-like virus, and not one of these officials revealed this scheme to the public. In fact, 15 agencies with knowledge of this project have continuously refused to release any information concerning this alarming and dangerous research. Government officials representing at least 15 federal agencies were briefed on a project proposed by Peter Daszak's Echo Health Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Under duress, the administration finally released documents that show that the diffuse project was pitched to at least 15 agencies in January of 2018. We funded Wuhan. Wuhan created the virus, and it was unleashed on us. I couldn't say that 3 years ago. I would have been ruined for saying that. It means 15 agencies knew from the beginning the pandemic that Eco Health Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology were seeking federal funding in 2018 to create a virus genetically very similar, if not identical, to COVID-19. Not one of these agencies spoke up to warn us about the Wuhan Institute of Virology and how they'd been pitching this research. Not one of these agencies warned anyone that this Chinese lab had already put together plans to create such a virus. Peter Daszak concealed this proposal. University of North Carolina scientist Ralph Barrick, a named collaborator on the diffuse project, failed to reveal that the Wuhan Institute of Virology had already proposed to create a virus similar to COVID-19. Not one agency stepped forward to warn the public that the virus might be man-made and therefore already adapted to transmit freely among humans. Rand Paul. right here. On March 17th of 2020, I printed off this article, and I've saved it since because I recognize this from the beginning. Shiva Avadari is a biological engineer with 4 degrees from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And he believed that the pandemic was being used by the deep state bureaucrats to further their agenda. And he said that, listen to this, the coronavirus by the deep state will go down in history as one of the biggest fraud to manipulate economies, suppress dissent, and push mandated medicine in history. It's dog-eared. It has coffee stains on it. I saved it. It has the highlights on it because I saved it from March 17th, more than 4 years ago. I knew it, but I was told I couldn't say anything about it by the federal government. Dr. Anthony Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases was not only briefed on Wuhan's desire to create the virus, NIAID was actually listed as a participant in the initial diffuse pitch. Fauci's Rocky Mountain Lab was named as a partner alongside the Wuhan Institute of Virology in that proposal. Wow. Just wow. Millions of people died from COVID-19. We now know that over 15 government agencies, as well as the investors, Peter Daszak, Ralph Baric, Ian Lipkin, and scientists at NIAID's Rocky Mountain Lab, all knew of the Wuhan Institute of Virology's desire to create a coronavirus with a furin cleavage site, a virus pre-adapted for human transmission. Like hundreds of people in the government knew of this proposal to create a COVID-like virus, and virtually every one of these people chose to keep quiet, to obscure, and ultimately to conceal information that might have saved lives by letting the world know this was no sleepy animal virus with poor transmission. And then they had a vaccine in the pipeline, and they forced it on us. Yeah. This is one of the ways that I was able to circumvent the government, and why I say that humor and comedians are the greatest disruptors. Because the federal government literally forced social media companies to say any information counter to the government's narrative on COVID, vaccinations, closings, all of that, was verboten. And so you know what I did? I made fun of them.
Take this jab and stick it. I ain't getting no vaccine. Joe Biden's stupid mandate, the dumbest thing that I've ever seen.
See what I mean?
Biden says take the shot or go home, so I'm walking out the door. Take your jab and stick it.
Say the vaccine didn't work.
Joe Biden's been in D.C. for going on 50 years.
Doesn't stop the spread.
And now he's trying to bring us down, playing on people's
ears. That was disinformation.
I've seen a lot of folks in D.C. lie. I've seen a lot of pay to play.
Now we know it's true.
With Democrats, I've had it up to here, and now I got the guts to say,
come on!
Take your jab and stick it. I ain't taking this no more. We still got a constitution that's worth fighting for. It's my body, it's my choice. Ain't that what the liberals say? So take this jab and stick it. This is still the USA. Take this jab and stick it. Hey, this is still the USA.
There you go. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Police departments now monitor people with drones.
This is the Volusia Sheriff's Office. Please adhere to social distancing guidelines.
Now some people are saying enough. These people are protesting North Carolina's stay-at-home order.
I feel that my rights have been completely removed.
On Twitter, the police declared protesting is a non-essential activity, and they arrested this woman. But wait a second, the Bill of Rights does say the American people have a right to peaceably assemble and petition the government.
All public and private gatherings of any size are prohibited.
Michigan.
Yeah, that happened in America, and I'm not letting it go, ever. I want people to be imprisoned for life for doing that to us. There you go. Yeah. I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but honestly, ridiculous. Everything ridiculous. The last 4 years of our lives, people need to be held accountable for it, for what they did to us, what they're continuing to do to us. That's it. That's all. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Did you hear this? This star of the sitcom Blackish, Jennifer Lewis, she's 67. She went off. She went off. Says that Donald Trump's going to put people in camps, kind of like what Democrats were doing all over the world. In New Zealand, when you had COVID, they had these camps for you and everything. And this woman just went bananas, apparently, with regard to, let me see if I can find this, because it's pretty amazing. What she said is crazy. Here it is. Crazy actress calls Trump Hitler. That's the name of the soundbite. Listen to what she says about Trump. And by the way, when she says that about Trump, she says that about you and me.
As soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He will take a hammer and break the glass where the Constitution is.
Yeah.
And he will tear it up in our face.
Yeah. No, sure. Mm.
And say, now, I'm the king.
All based on nothing.
F***ing world. You will bow down. He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this.
What, you gonna get all girlfriend on me?
I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
Well, that's very obvious. And it's contagious. This is Michael Beschloss on MSNBC. He says Donald Trump, he's going to become dictator for life.
And, you know, we all know, all four of us know that term, servant leadership.
Yep.
The president is supposed to be a servant leader, serving us. You hear about Trump saying he's going to be a dictator for a day, which is not going to be for a day.
Joe Biden is serving us a crap sandwich without the bread.
Happens. Could be for the rest of our lifetimes and our children's and more. But if that happens, that's totally against American history. The highest.
And all of that you just heard was completely made up, just meant to scare you. And you should laugh at it. I'm laughing at it. They make it up. They think that they're believable. They're not. They're not believable. There you go. I'm taking back mockery. I'm taking back ridicule. I'm taking back comedy, because the left isn't funny anymore. Not one little bit. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. Make sure to download the podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast channel. Look up Rob Carson Show, and we'll be set. Back to wrap things up in just 1 second. This is the Rob Carson Show. That's going to do it for the show. Check out the podcast. Go to your usual podcast platforms. Look up Rob Carson Show, or just ask Alexa to play the latest episode. We'll show up. God bless you. God bless and save America and Israel. And until tomorrow, don't catch the stupid. I'll see you guys then.